Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. The scripture reading we have today is going to be a little isolated in time. I've switched the reading material that is suggested to me from a more standard one that hops around through the Bible to one that's more narrative driven. It tries to tell a story sort of from beginning of Genesis to the end. But this particular year, we're going to do a lot more readings with Mark. We're going to look at Mark. But Mark doesn't have any birth stories. It just springs out there with Jesus as a full-grown adult. So this week we're going to sort of delve over into Luke just a little bit. Matthew and Luke are where we get our birth stories from. They're a little different. Matthew is very intentional in the way he phrases things. You will hear in Matthew, read in Matthew over and over again, the statement of as it was foretold in the scriptures. He gives you this reference point, and he sort of gives you the warning that what he's about to give you comes from somewhere. Sometimes he even tells you it's Isaiah, Hosea, something like that. Luke is more subtle. Luke is more subtle than that. But Luke is just as based in the Torah, in the book, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, as Matthew is. It's just done a little differently. Now, the passage we're going to read here today is sort of an introduction to some elements of chapter 1. I'm not going to read all of chapter 1. It would probably take us a good while to do that. But I will get to the narrative of it. And the primary character here is a man named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth will be the parents to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who will announce the coming of Jesus in all the Gospels, all four of the Gospels. That's there. Now, there will be echoes in Luke in general back to 1 Samuel, where Hannah is barren. Hannah wants a child, and she keeps offering sacrifices and praying to God that she could have a child, and then she's finally gifted with the child that becomes Samuel. And there's elements of what Mary and Zechariah will be saying here, which reminds us of that. I'm on page 56 and 57 of 56 is where I'll be of the New Testament section of your Bibles. Luke 1, I'm going to read from verses 5 through 13. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. What Luke is doing is establishing clearly John the Baptist's bona fide credentials. He is out of the priestly class, and he is making it clear to us that he comes out of that. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, but they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. One of the commentaries I read suggested this might happen to a priest once in their life. It's just a very, very rare occurrence. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right-hand side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, we're almost to Bethlehem. We're almost there. This coming Thursday night, we're actually will get to Bethlehem. But there's still a few things that need to be tidied up in the story as we proceed there. One, you need to have someone who's going to proclaim the coming of Jesus, coming of the Messiah into the world. And that's where Zechariah's son, Elizabeth's son, John, will emerge. Later in the passage, you will have Mary being told by the Holy Spirit that she's going to be with child. I imagine every parent of teenage daughters just perishes at the thought that their daughter may come home and tell them a story like that. We know these not so much through the Greek as much as we know their names through the Latin. Benedictus is this thanksgiving, this thank you to God, this blessedness, the fact that I've been blessed, that Zechariah sings, and that's part of how we know that. And what's Mary's response to her having been anointed? She will sing Magnificat Anima Mea. She will say, glory to God. God's glory animates me. And it's this thing of the idea of what you've got going on here with these two stories right there next to each other. One is this idea of moving from barrenness to fruitfulness. And the other one is this unexpected level of fruitfulness in the most awkward of places. This idea of the barrenness moving to fruitfulness is not a unique idea in Luke. If you've been paying attention for these last 3 and 4 months, since early September, that element over and over and over and over again has been a critical element of the story, is the fact that God takes what appears to be not fruitful and makes it fruitful. Now, I'm always concerned we go to this because this passage is so intensely driven about barrenness and children, and there are people here who might not have children and want them, and they have this hole in their heart as a result of that. I don't think you have to focus only on biological children. Cheryl talked about the nature of how she's been a parent without it being biological. There's also the role that we have when we baptize children here. We remind everybody here that there's a responsibility that all of us have to help nurture these baptized children into full discipleship. That's part of what these banners represent that Sandy makes so much out of love. They're up here, and they're here to remind us, that we're called to fruitfulness with these names that are on these banners, whether they're our children or not. You also have this unexpected quality with Mary. Just, you might ask the question, what is so special about her? What was so special about Abraham? What was so special about David? What was so special? Repeat over and over again. God uses people on behalf of God's cause in the world, of bringing God's kingdom into fruition. And what are the responses of Zechariah? And what are the responses of Mary? Zechariah says, I've been blessed. This is a blessing for me, for us in this opportunity. And most Mary's response, her response is one of gratitude and thankfulness, and understanding how it is that the glory of God has been made present in her. God works through very interesting people. So what does this say to us on this eve of Christmas here in 2015? I think it speaks to us as a community. I think it speaks to us as individuals. As a community, we have, for example, not birthed another church. There's a church, Methodist church in Georgetown, that outside of its church, Georgetown is in Washington, D.C., Georgetown near Washington, D.C., right near Georgetown University, and they've got on their placard that announces what church they are, they've got the names of the four churches that they have founded. They see those as their children. Corporately, we're about to have a chance to have planned parenthood here, and God's Holy Spirit is with us. And this has emerged out of a most unexpected place. If you had said 4 or 5 years ago that Hilltop was going to be interested in being a parent through planning, people would have said, right, sure, uh-huh. But again, God continues to work in unexpected places. And you're part of that unexpected place. You can step back and say, who, me? Or you can be like Zechariah and Mary, and you can say, we've been blessed, and the glory of God needs to be made manifest. I would also say to you, it's an opportunity for you as individuals as well. What are you called upon to do with your gifts and graces as we step up to this almost there to see the birth of Christ in the world? What are you called upon to do as an individual? My suggestion would be that find out what it is that you're doing that can produce fruitfulness. And I sit there and say that, but sometimes it's not real clear exactly how Sometimes it's not exactly clear precisely how it is that you create fruitfulness. You sort of go with God's flow. You react to God's Holy Spirit, that God's breath blowing you along. And all of a sudden you look up one day and discover that you are an opportunity for change in the world. Slowly, bit by bit. I pulled out the music that we just sang for the In Winter's Night. Oh, draw us wholly to you, Lord. Reveal to us your glory. The morning dew so soft and clear marks true salvation's story. Prepare within our hearts this day a manger bed so lowly to see you pure and holy. Your heart, you may not see it that way, but your heart has the capacity to be that manger bed. That manger bed for helping bring change into God's world. John the Baptist would stand up and announce, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We've heard a reading today that focuses on how John the Baptist has arrived in the world. Out of barrenness came the fruitfulness that was John the Baptist. Unexpected solutions at unexpected times by a God who doesn't always do the expected. Wow. What a wonderful thing. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask that we can hear the proclamation of your word such that we can see ourselves in the story. Change agents. Agents moving from deserts to beautiful oases through your power, through your Holy Spirit. And all of God's children say, amen. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.